Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Discount Tire, we know your time is valuable. Get 30% shorter average wait time when you buy and book online. Did you know Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Check out our current deals at DiscountTire.com or stop in and talk to an associate today. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.
Does picking an outfit have you running a little too fashionably late? We get it. Great taste takes time. That's why Drizly, the number one app for alcohol delivery, has your back with the largest selection of beer, wine, and spirits delivered in under 60 minutes. Convenience never goes out of style. So if you need to spend some extra time in the mirror instead of at the store, download the Drizly app or go to drizly.com. That's drizly.com today.
Hey, Holly.
Hey, Dave.
How are you?
How are you doing today?
I am good.
I thought we were going to change it up and say, and I get to say, how you doing today on the What Difference Does It Make podcast?
Oh, well, thank you. It's that's nice to hear. I'm doing great because it's a wonderful time to learn a little bit about a new culture. We know a lot about radio in the United States, or at least, yeah, we both do, because we, you know, this has been our world, but your world is a little more expansive than mine. Can you care to elaborate?
Yes, because I work internationally. I have my whole career worked in the international radio marketplace. And so I have had the opportunity, the way you travel to conventions here, right? Radio conventions, which I do too, but you've met a lot of people that way, yes?
Yes, indeed, I have. And that's where I bring in a lot of my friends to our podcast, because I like talking to them. That is also the case with you.
I think we should start talking to a few more of my friends, like the one we're talking to today.
Who is? Please tell us.
Oh, you want to know?
No more drama. I need to know. Who's in our neighborhood today?
Today, our neighborhood is Denmark. And we are talking to Palle Bo, who is the radio vagabond and also the radio guru. You're going to love him, Dave. I guarantee you're going to love him. And there are more where he came from.
Okay. We're going to talk about the songs from 1985. This week, we go through songs 40 to... Is it 40 to 31?
40 to 31 on the 1985 K-Rock year-end chart.
Excellent. So yes, we're going to talk about all those songs. We're going to learn a little bit about Holly's friend. But before that, we have to learn a little bit about social media. And where can they find us, Holly?
You can find us on social media at WDDIM Podcast. And also on YouTube, we'll have clips from this interview, outtakes from our chat with Palle Bo, and from many, many of our past interviews. So please check us out on YouTube at What Difference Does It Make Podcast.
Okay, so let's get right into it on the What Difference Does It Make Podcast. We're going to talk about K-Rock music, but first we're going to learn a little bit about Holly's friend. So let's do that right now.
Hello.
Don't.
Dave, meet Palle. Palle. Dave.
Hello.
Hi, Dave.
Nice to meet you.
I've been listening to you guys, so I feel like I know you already.
I think you are the reason we have started charting in Denmark.
Really?
Thank you. We are like the favorite music interview podcast in Denmark right now.
Oh, wow.
Something like that.
I whenever I get those chartable things, I always feel like, oh, you dropped on the list, or you went out on the list of,
So you get that too, because I'm following this thing and it drives me insane. For some reason, you know, with America, we're on, we're off. Like there's some small countries.
Brunei, we've been charting in Brunei.
We're number one in Brunei, right? Was that it?
No.
Yeah.
It's the Sultan.
Yeah.
I must admit, I'm so sorry if I'm going to be a horrible guest on this, because a lot of the songs I didn't even know. And I've never been a music controller of a station. I've been a program director. I've been the host. But yeah, obviously, I grew up with this music. I did my first radio show in 85. But a lot of these were not hits in Denmark or in Europe. So I know a lot of the other songs, but not specifically some of these songs. So we'll just wing it, and I'll do the best I can.
No, all that information is good too, because we want to know. I mean, we know that there are bands that didn't mm-hmm. you know, make it here, and maybe there's an equivalent in mm-hmm. Europe. So your educated opinion and analysis and your stories.
Yeah.
The radio professional you are.
So let's kind of get started. As you alluded, 1985, you said that was your first radio gig. Where were you? What was happening?
It was in Denmark when I started volunteering at this. So it was just, I can talk a lot about how the radio situation was in Denmark, because that was so different than the States. Back in the mid-80s was when we went from only having a monopoly radio national public service broadcaster to giving it more free and letting private stations start, but without commercials.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So we had no way of making money other than doing radio bingo.
So was it like public radio where listeners had to donate?
No. Oh, yeah, a little bit with the private station, not the public radio, the national government-owned station. They were like paid. You have to pay a fee, kind of like a tax.
Like BBC. BBC.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Was there a format to this station? What was the call letters? What was it called? Where were you?
That was Radio Randers, named after the home city. And then a few years later, we started with a couple of friends of mine. We started our own station that we called Radio Upfront. And then we later changed names to Radio ABC. But it was never like we wanted to start a company. It was more like we wanted to make radio, kind of radio that we wanted to listen to.
And you could do that in Denmark? I mean, your friends, were they all in their early 20s? How does this happen in Denmark? My mind's ready to explode with how this happened.
Oh, I was in my early 20s, and I was actually a graphic designer, or training to be a graphic designer at the time. And I've been a DJ for years and loved playing music and mixing music and stuff like that. And there was just not an opportunity to go into radio, because the situation in Denmark back then was like there was only the national government-owned broadcaster that had a monopoly on radio. So when we wanted to listen to some pop music, we would listen to Radio Luxembourg on AM, which sounded horrible, but we would do that because they had charts. Oh my God, they played the hits. And Denmark's radio, the government, kind of like our BBC, they had maybe 1 or 2 hours in the afternoon playing popular music. So we didn't have anywhere to listen to that except for Radio Luxembourg. They had three channels. And just to give you an idea about how the situation was in Denmark, every morning from 9 to noon, they would play classical music on all three channels. They would play have the same show on all three channels, where that was all we could listen to was classical music every day from 9 in the morning to noon. And it was kind of like they wanted to educate the people what was good taste. So that was what they did on all, no choices.
Yeah.
So when they started changing the law and said, okay, now private people can start a radio station, it was more like, okay, we'll have a way for them to come out and say what they want. They didn't really think that they wanted a place where it would be a competitor to Denmark's radio, or that there would actually be people wanting to play what Radio Luxembourg was playing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I found it so fascinating going into that. I would have my job 8 hours a day, and then whenever I got off work, I would go straight to the radio station and do whatever I wanted and play around with it. None of us was getting paid. We were just enjoying ourselves and doing that.
How did you get the frequency?
Well, this was the station that was open there, and I guess somebody, they applied for it. It wasn't a company that applied. It was more like some people going together. I don't even know the English word for it, but it's pretty common in Denmark that we have a structure. Like if you start a football club or you start a stamp collectors club, that you do that. We call it a forening, kind of a union of people.
Like a consortium, sort of?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
And I was there for a couple of years. And then at some point, me and a friend of mine, Ole and I, we looked at each other and Ole said, "Can you raise a little bit of cash?" And I said, "What do you mean to start a radio station?" And he was like, "What? How did you know I was going to say that?" Because it was never anything we talked about. It was kind of like, can this even be done? But we had the same thought at the same time. And then we didn't have enough money. So we got two more friends aboard. And then we had a little bit of cash to apply for a license ourselves. And it was never like we wanted to build a company. It was more like we wanted to be able to make the kind of radio that we wanted to listen to, or maybe a few of our friends wanted to listen to. Maybe some girls would be impressed that we were on this cool youth radio station. And now, what is it, 30 years later, I'm still a co-owner. We have 17 radio stations now. Now it's a company. But that was the way it started. It was never our intention to start a company. It was more like fun.
I was going to ask about access to the music. I mean, how did you know about the music that you wanted to play? What were you listening to? How'd you, like at music clubs, or where were you going to hear what was new and exciting if you could not hear any of that on?
How did we do that? Yeah. Whenever, I was just going to, we listened to it online and we'd go and Google it. No, we didn't.
Right.
Whenever anyone was going to England or the US, they always got some cassette tapes and say, "Please record anything that you can get a hold of for us to be inspired by." How did we know what was trending? I have no clue. Obviously, what was selling in the shops, we did charts and we spoke to the local record shops and they gave us charts of what was selling. But how we introduced music, because we didn't even have any connections to the record labels. It was so brand new back then.
But you were reading Billboard and, maybe Radio and Records.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. We did that, yeah.
It's all coming back now. Yeah, well, when you write the screenplay for your movie, this is, you gotta make notes. You gotta remember these things.
Yeah.
Were you on the air 24 hours? Were you able to do that?
No, in the beginning, we shared the frequency with a Christian station, or not even some kind of different kind of Christianity, but it was a very religious station. And there we were, the youth station, and we had to share the time. So I remember we had from 6 in the morning to 7:30. And then had to hand the frequency over to them.
Interesting.
And then we would go off to work, and then we got it back sometime in the afternoon. And we did the afternoon and the nighttime. But there was this youth station that was called Upfront. And then at some point, the Christian station shut down. And we had a discussion, should we say this was it? Or should we try to make it bigger? And that's when we decided to make it bigger, and we got 24-hour frequency, and we changed the name. We rebranded the station to Radio ABC, and then it just took off. We were in around the 90s back then, and then it just took off, and every year up through the 90s, we doubled the ratings every time. So yeah, it really blew up. I think we had some of the ratings were, when we looked at the teenagers from 12 to 19, we had the official rating said 98% of the teens would listen to us at least once a week. But it was crazy back then.
Were you the only choice aside from national, from the classical music? Because then you can understand why the kids were gravitating.
Yeah, more or less, it was like kind of like taking candy from kids. Yeah. There were a few of the other local stations that were doing well in the area that people could listen to as well. See, it wasn't specifically very good what we did, but it was successful.
So the entire teenage population is listening to you. You guys are celebrities, mm-hmm. then, right? I mean, people know. Yeah, so did that develop into like a TV show or
small local area?
I know, but still, it's like you know. Everybody knows they can recognize your voice. I'm sure you had, maybe in record shops, they had, you know, the radio station and pictures of you. Were you a big time celebrity, like a hometown celebrity or what?
I wouldn't say that. No, I definitely wouldn't say that.
You're just being humble.
Because like I'm thinking about when we talked with Mark Goodman at MTV, you know, they had no idea how big they were until he went to some small town in Idaho that had MTV. And he went to a record store to do some in-store, and he saw this line around the block, and he was wondering, oh, who's here? Who are they here for? Like, they're here for you, because that's all they knew. That's what they knew, and that's what everyone was listening to. I imagine that you have some stories of that, like that.
I was doing telephone pranks at some point.
Perfect.
And it was actually kind of funny, because I knew when they were on, and there was a busy street, and I could see people in the car next to me laughing at what they were hearing, and that was kind of funny. Mm-hmm. And I remember also at the post office, everybody was going in the morning for their post, the packages and stuff, and there was a big line of cars. And everybody was in the car until the second it ended. And then all the doors would open and people would go in. So that made me feel good.
That has to be so rewarding, you know, fulfilling.
That was so good. That was so good. Yeah.
It's crazy to hear the story, you know, from Europeans from different countries, how private radio came to be, you know, the beginnings of private radio. It was like the Wild West. I mean, these stories are fantastic.
So early 90s, so grunge, I guess, was your music choice that you were playing a lot of. Was that what was going on, like Nirvana and Pearl Jam and the like?
No. I think we were more Stock Aitken Waterman. We were more Rick Astley.
So it was
kind of stuff. Yeah.
So it was pop.
Like pop. Hard.
It was totally pop. Totally pop. Yeah.
Okay.
And I had high hair and huge glasses, and there are some pictures out there.
Okay, we're learning our radio ABCs, but we are going to take a break. And when we get back, we are going to talk about the music that K-Rock played back in 1985 on the What Difference Does It Make podcast.
On the What Difference Does It Make podcast with our guest, Pally Bo. Okay, before we get into the music, and of course we wanted to hear about the beginnings, but you need to fill us in on some of the details. First about Radio Guru and then Radio Vagabond.
Yeah, well, I have a production company that I started in 2007 that I call Radio Guru, just because I'm so full of myself. In the beginning, it was 90% radio commercials. Now it's all podcasting. I produce podcasts for Lego and other companies. And then I call myself the Radio Vagabond, which is kind of my side project where I am literally a vagabond. For 6 years, I've been traveling full time. It's very rare that I'm in Denmark. I am in Denmark right now, but I travel full time and call myself the Radio Vagabond. And I do a travel podcast called The Radio Vagabond, where I tell stories and talk to people I meet on the streets and all over the world. I've been to 103 countries right now, and I intend to visit them all. So it's a passion project, and I enjoy doing it. I've done 220 episodes so far, and I do it both in Danish and English. And now we're out of time.
And now, thank you for your time. I know, exactly. So we are going to talk music. This is from 1985. These are the songs 40 to 31 that was played on the world famous K-Rock in Los Angeles. And
fantastic station.
Okay, so what they say the world famous K-Rock, what does K-Rock mean to you?
When I look at stations in the US that I was totally inspired by. It was obviously C100 from New York, and Kiss FM and K-Rock are on the top of my mind.
Let's talk music, shall we? We're going to go through these songs. So number 40 is Depeche Mode. It's called A Heart. It's something beating here inside my body, and it's called a heart. You know how easy it is to tear it apart. If I lend it to you, I watched this video and it was like the opposite of a Duran Duran video. They're like in a cornfield and it's just, it's not glamorous at all. How did you become aware of Depeche Mode?
Well, I remember them mostly from when I was still in school. I wouldn't say that I was a big fan of them, but I did like, especially the Speak and Spell in 81, something like that. But it wasn't like I was blown away. My favorite song would probably be Master and Servant. This one I've never heard before. Yeah. I must admit, it was never a big thing in my life.
I did not remember the song, Dave. Did you?
No, this was the first of three songs that are on the charts. The other two that we're going to get into are higher up the charts and more well-known. I looked on Wikipedia, and the guys in Depeche Mode did not really like this song at all themselves. So.
They actually said that.
Yeah.
They put it on the singles album that they released.
Yeah. They recorded it like, I don't know what to do with this. Well, we got it. It's a fully developed song. Let's put it on a B-side. And K-Rock liked to do that, like especially with bands that became huge, like Duran Duran, The Cure. They would flip over, play the B-side, or, you know, if there was some other lesser-known song, they played it. I mean, even though they did make a video for it, a bad video, no matter what, we could play something from Depeche Mode because this band is exploding and it's going to react.
And back in the day, you would not necessarily have called it a bad video. We weren't judging them the same way. We just wanted to see them. We were just, you know, clamoring for this stuff.
I don't know. Do you remember this video? I don't even think this was played at all. I mean, they're in a cornfield.
It's accepted it.
Even then, this is ridiculous. Why are these English boys in the cornfield? Why are you...
You might. I'm an easy audience.
All right. Come on. Let's keep it moving here. I'm kind of curious as to your take on, first of all, Oingo Boingo is an LA band. Danny Elfman. I'm sure you know Danny Elfman. This is from the movie Weird Science. It's the title track. And I'm. Do you know Weird Science and Oingo Boingo and Danny Elfman? I want to hear all three.
Well, you sent me the link to the song. And when I clicked play, I thought, have I heard this before? The name didn't say anything, but I can't really remember that I heard the song. And then I thought, okay, Weird Science, that's a movie. And then I went and found the movie trailer, and I was like, I remember that was so crazy, and these kids making this gorgeous woman on a computer, and it was like, oh my god, I remember just loving that movie. And then I saw the trailer and I thought, I don't think I would be a big fan of the movie right now. But what can you say about me and movie taste? I one of my favorite movies back then was Howard the Duck. So
you're that one guy. All right.
Yeah.
That it was like they created the perfect woman. Wasn't she also the actor who was in The Woman in Red?
Yeah, it's Kelly LeBrock.
Oh yeah. My God, yes. Yeah. I was in my late teens, early 20s, and I was just with my eyes glued to the screen when she came on.
From my heart and from my hand, why don't people understand my intention?
So Weird Science, so you remember the movie, You don't necessarily remember the song. What about the other, what we called Brat Pack movies in that genre with those same actors?
Yeah, you see, I had to Google that as well because the term Brat Pack didn't ring a bell. And then, oh, I get it. St. Elmo's Fire.
Breakfast Club.
Breakfast Club, exactly.
Yeah,
I remember seeing a lot of those movies. But when it comes to a favorite of the Brat Pack movies that I now know it's called, I would probably say St. Elmo's Fire is the one that stands out for me. They also had a great soundtrack.
Well, you had us at Howard the Duck, so, you know.
These movies all had our favorite music at the time. I mean, all 16 Candles and Pretty in Pink had all of our, I mean, those soundtracks to us were everything at the time.
It was a kind of part soundtrack, part movie, yeah.
All right, we're going to 38. Duran Duran, The View to a Kill. The boys are, I'm sure you watched the video with the boys, are they all take on different characters, photographers, a blind guy, one guy, you know, Roger's at headquarters. I'm sure everybody had their favorite Duran Duran member. What are your memories of Duran Duran?
I absolutely loved everything they did, and I loved their music videos and always so glamorous. We had in Denmark a little bit of a special relationship to John Taylor. He was the boyfriend of a Danish supermodel. We kind of took ownership of him, but all of them were great. And I loved everything they did. Wild Boys, Girls on Film, Is There Something I Should Know, Hungry Like the Wolf, I Can Go On. It was like hit after hit after hit. I really, really loved them.
Crystal tears, fall of snowflakes on your body. First time in years to drench your skin. Lover's rosy stain. A chance to find the phoenix for the flame. A chance to die.
Now that we are at number 38, I just want to remind you that I'm wearing a special t-shirt just for this one. My t-shirt says, "My name is Bond, Radio Vagabond."
At the end of a View to a Kill video, Simon Le Bon gives his name.
Excuse me, aren't you?
Bond, Simon Le Bon.
I didn't remember.
Oh, you didn't
that.
Watch the very end? You have to stick. No. Stick. No. It's only 3.5 minutes long.
I didn't even watch the end.
What? I mean, that was the whole video was spectacular. You need to revisit that. That's you know, it's Duran Duran being. It was very cheesy, and Duran Duran just kind of just jumps right into it. This is you know.
But this sentence actually came to me just before me and my youngest kid, we were on our way to North Korea, and I had a wristwatch with a video camera, and I said, I'm going to be filming where I'm not allowed to be filming. I said, my name is Bond, Radio Vagabond. And we were just laughing, and so, yeah. I did do some videos from North Korea, so I'm probably not going back.
That's going to be a whole other podcast because I'm curious about like that whole. I'm sure just the fact that you were able to get into North Korea. I'm sure this is. I'll have to listen to this podcast because apparently I'm sure there's a lot. There's a lot.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, very cool.
Of all the places to take your. His kids are adults also, so of all the places to take your
kids
to.
That's great that you got them there. That's amazing.
Yeah, we got out again. I was filming while she was having her bag searched. We both made it out alive.
You have a video camera. Do you still have that?
Like a bond. It sounds like a bond.
Do you have a cue? Who is your cue? Who's hooking you up with these things?
I could tell you, but then...
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. Number 37, Kate Bush running up that hill. All right. Are you familiar with Kate Bush?
Oh, yeah. Her work. Obviously, yeah. I was blown away when Wuthering Heights was out.
And, right.
The voice was just like something I'd never heard before. It was like, how is that even possible?
Right.
And the other one that I remember is this one, Running Up That Hill. I've bought an album with her, but I like the music, but it's kind of one of those where, yeah, it's good, but it's not something I would put on.
Okay. That's just, okay. Just the opposite of me. But the video is interesting in that she is not lip syncing. She's doing a dance, and it's just one of a kind. I mean, she was always breaking down doors and like, okay, you know, I'll make a video, but I'm going to be, it's just going to be all dance. Yeah. It preceded everything else of, you know, like a dance video. It's, I think it's just amazing. You know, David Gilmour, she does on YouTube, you can pull up her and David Gilmour singing Running Up That Hill, and it's pretty cool.
Oh.
Now I'm definitely going to put it on.
I mean.
In your spare time.
Totally.
When you're on a plane, pull up, listen to it. Yeah, go through a little bit of Kate Bush, because I mean, her work just it's like an onion. It's just layers and layers, and you just keep discovering new amazing elements to each and every song.
When I'm offline on a plane, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you know about the thing with A Deal With God, that it was the label that wouldn't allow her to have that be the full name of the song?
I had no idea.
So why was that?
Well, you know, record label that's safe. Maybe they didn't want, not maybe, I mean, they just didn't want God in the title of a song.
Joan Osborne had a big hit with One of Us, and there was the XTC song, God. I don't know. You know, John Lennon had a song called God.
It's the subtitle, which I didn't even know. I only thought this song was called Running Up That Hill. Kate Bush, I guess, was intended to appeal to a segment that maybe you would risk offending.
Well, we had Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher. We were very conservative back then, and I think they didn't want to offend the moral majority or whatever. We had Tipper Gore trying to ban things. I'm sure record labels were a little gun shy, maybe. But this Running Up That Hill should have been a bigger hit.
But I bet this was only in America.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Stuff We Care About, number 36, Arcadia. Election Day. This is the offshoot. This was with, who is it? Nick and Roger.
Simon
were in Arcadia. And so this was the opposite of I actually, after listening to this song as opposed to Power Station, which is just, I mean, it was bang a gong. It's like banging it over your head, like these songs, because of, you know, it was all percussive and just like, you know, really intense. I think I like the Arcadia Election Day. I like this a lot better than the two singles that Power Station had. What were your thoughts on Arcadia and Power Station?
I remember the day that it came out and I got my hands on the album and put it under the needle for the first time. I was like so excited because huge fan of Duran Duran and here comes the other stuff. And it was, yeah, it could have been Duran Duran. It was, yeah, it was okay. Now that you're saying the Power Station and especially Some Like It Hot and with Robert Palmer singing, and it was, I like that better.
Yeah.
I was a little bit disappointed in Election Day. I played it a lot and I liked it, but it wasn't, I was a little bit disappointed because I was expecting something spectacular.
I think that's what they were doing with Power Station. Like, okay, this is Duran Duran times two, like Duran Duran, Duran Duran. We're just going to bang it over their head. Like this is going to be a big, big song. And I mean, yeah, like everyone has mentioned Robert Palmer, just added so much to the band, to Power Station.
And you're right, Arcadia had the Duran Duran folk.
Yeah, and they had Simon singing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Maybe that's why I liked it the best. But also, guest vocalist, as we were talking James Bond, we had Grace Jones was on this song too. And that was kind of a nice little touch.
Wow. I had forgotten that.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. That's a personality as well. I mean, you got your Robert Palmer and then, you know, Grace Jones adding a little flair to a song. I think that was very cool.
I had kind of forgotten. Well, we still hear Power Station now. It still gets played. You don't really hear Arcadia or Election Day much. I have since put it on my main playlist, because I had forgotten about it and I really do like it.
In 1985, they got a little break from each other and created some new music. So, you know, it was like getting a double Duran Duran. So that was, you know, kind of a nice little treat. Yeah. Plus, we had A View to a Kill. So it was a lot of Duran Duran going on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So that was a duet, kind of. We got a little Grace Jones, a little Simon. The next song, number 35, is also a duet. UB40 with Chrissy Hynde doing the Sonny and Cher classic, I Got You, Babe.
They say we're young and we don't know.
Like this?
I love it.
Okay.
Did you watch the video?
I did, yeah. Yeah. Standing on an empty stage. With no audience.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I think they are the cutest things I've ever seen. I think they were so young and so they just looked so happy.
Well, that's what the song is. It's not, you're not gonna get any angst out of I Got You, Babe.
No, I know. But they just look like, yes, of course you're right. I mean, Sonny and Cher always look like they were happy to be together, but this was like fun. I just loved every frame of this.
Yeah. But I actually thought that UB40 was bigger in Europe than they were in the US.
They had a number one hit with Red Red Wine, a Neil Diamond song. Yeah, they had a couple hits. I guess they were good with their interpretation of cover song, doing light pop reggae songs. Are you a movie guy? Do you remember Groundhog Day? Did you ever watch that?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So many times it felt like Groundhog Day.
Yeah, okay. All right. So then, so you know the Sonny and Cher version of that song.
Oh, yeah, of course. And I love Sonny and Cher, but I just...
Do you prefer this version?
For this version, yeah.
Really? Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess when you're in that zone, I think that's why this song means a lot more to you than the Sonny and Cher one.
And their voices together. Their voices were great together.
One time, Michael Stipe and Cher did a version of the song on a stage in Los Angeles. It's also delightful. Light, happy song, something different for 1985 when, you know, we had to worry about putting God in a song.
Yeah.
All right.
I got you, baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Number 34.
Echo and the Bunnymen. Bring on the dancing horses. Let's party up. Bring on dancing horses. Are you familiar with Echo and the Bunnymen? Had you heard this song before?
I know the name.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. I know. I hope you have something to add here because I got nothing. I know the name Echo and the Bunnymen. I never heard this song. I couldn't for the life of me name any songs that they've done. I'm sure there are some where I say, oh yeah, I remember that, but I got nothing.
Okay.
You will know many of their songs.
Jimmy Bob, made of stone. Charlie Clark, no way home. Bring on the dancing horses, headless and all alone. Shiver and say the words of every lie you've heard. First I'm gonna make it, and then I'm gonna break it till it falls apart. Hating all the faking and shaking while I'm breaking your brittle heart. Can you start?
Yeah, I listened to it and it okay, next one.
Okay.
Plus, I was running out of time. I was more into really poppy music.
Yeah.
Stargate and Waterman and Rick Astley and Kylie Minogue. And
this is the opposite of that.
That was more my thing. And looking back, it might not have been the best of choices, but but I was young and I needed the money.
All right. Yeah, I was young and I needed the money. Oh, my God. Put that on a shirt. Number 33 by ABC, Be Near Me. What are your impressions of that song?
ABC, I love them. Poison Arrow, A Look of Love, When Smokey Sings, a lot of their songs. This one, Be Near Me, it was not huge in Danish radio, but the others I remember. It was one of those bands, whenever they came out with something new, it was one of those that I would look out for because I loved the sound of them, and they were really good.
The message is perfectly simple, the meaning is clear. Don't ever stray too far, and don't disappear. No, don't disappear. Ever had the feeling almost broken too? Said that you were leaving like you do. You do, ooh, ooh. All my dreams came true last night. All my hopes and fears. All my dreams came true once more. In tears, in tears. Be near me, be near.
This song did better here than it did in the UK.
On the K-Rock charts, this is the highest ranking. This is the third of three, and this is the highest ranking one in 1985. The video was also, I mean, they're playing like toy instruments. ABC was constantly trying different things. I admire their efforts. They did like this one other song that we watched. They were doing like this film noir. And this one, they're, you know, little colorful toys that they're playing. They're trying to make it interesting.
Well, really, most of us just wanted to look at them. We didn't really care what they were doing, you know, whether they were playing their instruments or acting, you know, in a scene. We just wanted to see them.
Yeah, this song actually made it up to number 9 in the United States. And it was even number 1 on the dance charts. They were still hitting it hard. Mm-hmm. Well, let's keep moving to number 32.
Yeah, please.
I know. I know. I recognize. See what's going on.
He's like,
just pull it. Yeah, pull the cord. Another great pop song, Skritti Politti, Perfect Way.
I'm
I love this song. I love this guy in his 20s who sounds like he's 11 years old. What are your thoughts on this song?
They got the very, very unique Skritti Pilitti sound.
Yeah.
My favorite Skritti Pilitti is probably Boom, There She Was. And it's got the same sound. It's very unique sound. It's so Skritti Pilitti. But I love it, yeah.
I love the song. This was their only major hit here.
Yes.
In the U.S. I know they did better in Europe. Yeah, so I don't even really remember hearing anything else from them.
So
here they were basically a one-hit wonder.
You don't know Boom, There She Was?
No. Do you, Dave?
I'm going to say no.
There's listen
like
to that, and you will never listen to Perfect Way again.
No, I did love that sound.
They also did one called Oh Patty, Don't Feel Sorry for a Lover Boy. I love that title, right?
Yeah.
They were a one-hit wonder here.
They are your Echo and the Bunnymen.
Yeah, I guess so. But it was just like this blue-eyed soul type music. Reminded me of like Simply Red and Fine Young Cannibals and like that, all that. There was something like dancey, but just kind of still soulful about it. But it was a great, perfect way. I think it's just a perfect pop song. It's aged very well.
There are other songs similar to this that made it big here, and this one didn't. Why? I mean, what's the magic formula for something like this for making it? It just seems so random.
It's the same with what makes it into the charts. And you can listen to a song and say, I cannot understand why this isn't a huge thing all over the world, and just makes it into some markets.
These are things we will never know. How many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Tootsie Pop?
Three.
And why some people haven't seen Howard the Duck.
Yeah, I know.
I'll put it on the list.
No, don't say that, Holly, because she will never watch it. She tells me that all the time. I'll watch it. I'll watch it. And then, you know, she's got the list is long, very long.
It is long.
Speaking of long lists, we've come to the end of our list. Here we are, number 31. This is Artists United Against Apartheid. The song is Sun City. Steven Van Zandt's pet project. Did this make it to, is this something that you were familiar with at all?
Oh yeah.
It did make it worldwide. Okay.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was really played on the radio, not just on our station, but all over Europe, I guess.
Oh, it was played on the radio because I've read Steve Van Zandt's memoir, his own words. And when it came out for radio, in the United States, too white for black radio, too black for white radio. So it wasn't played at all. And it was not played at all until MTV jumped on it. And apparently it was at the right time because they were under pressure to play black artists at the time. In 1985, they weren't playing any black artists at all. You know, a lot of people were like, well, what's wrong with MTV? So then this was kind of like a coming together. It was like it had a mixed genre of music, like, oh, this is something that our audience would like. You know, if it wasn't for MTV, we probably wouldn't have known of Sun City at all.
looking at all the artists. I can hear it. I guess Run DMC and George Clinton and
Lou Reed and the Ramones. I mean, that's, yeah. You know, you wouldn't expect to hear those names in one song. So
yeah, but where would you play it here? We know where, you know, We Are the World gets played. I mean, I remember the song vividly. This is my favorite of that type of song. But was it getting played on K-Rock? I can't remember.
Well, it's on the chart.
I mean, sometimes it's random. There's no science to how K-Rock put these charts together, as we sort of determined.
Well, it was significant enough that they put it at 31. So it wasn't K-Rock, but it wasn't
the only one playing it?
I'm pretty sure that it got sporadic, you know, maybe on a morning show they would talk about it, you know, and because Bruce Springsteen was on it, maybe in 1985, he was the biggest artist. So, you know, maybe it got played, but it was not an issue overseas. Apparently you heard it was heard all over the place.
Yeah.
Were you familiar with Sun City and what was going on in South Africa, or was it
very much so. I mentioned early on that I was a graphic designer before I went into radio, and one of our clients was Shell, that chose to stay in South Africa, and we got some at the agency, we got some backlash from, because we were a Danish agency having Shell as a client. Somebody came and painted on the walls, graffiti, it was a bit scary, but very much into the whole, we got to do something about the whole South African thing.
And Polly, by the way, I spent a lot of time in South Africa.
Yes, Cape Town is my favorite country. Yeah.
How's that right?
And on the whole thing about apartheid, are you familiar with Rodriguez and the whole searching for Sugar Man thing? Songwriter, singer-songwriter from Detroit who makes it big in South Africa, but is totally unaware of it because somebody takes the money and he works in construction for the rest of his life. I actually went to see Rodriguez when he came to Cape Town and did a concert. He did a thing called Resurrection Tour because everybody thought he was dead. Yeah. And then it turned out that he was alive and well. And so he came to South Africa on a tour, and they did this documentary that won an Oscar and a BAFTA. Great, great movie and an amazing story. The reason I'm bringing it up, because we're talking about apartheid, and he was not aware, but his music played a big part because he had some songs about setting yourself up against the establishment and it's okay to speak your mind. So his music played a big part in the whole people rising up against apartheid.
Sugar Man, won't you hurry? 'Cause I'm tired of these scenes. For a blue coin, won't you bring back all those colors to my dreams? Silver magic ships you carry, jumpers, coke, sweet Mary Jane. Sugar Man, met a false friend on a lonely, dusty road. Lost my heart when I found it. It had turned to dead black coal.
It's an amazing story.
That's great.
And the music is great.
Dave, do you have an opinion, about Sun City, the song?
Oh, I love that. I mean, I do have, as I mentioned, I have this Lee Van Zandt book. And he had mentioned like there were only three songs before then that had actually touched on apartheid. It was Gil Scott-Heron had Johannesburg. There was Biko by Peter Gabriel. The Specials did Free Nelson Mandela.
Oh, yeah.
He did a lot of research and he actually went to South Africa. You know, he did a lot of behind the scenes work to actually understand exactly what was going on. But yeah, just the fact that he was able to create it, this wasn't a We Are the World thing where everyone was in a room. He had to do it was all by piecemeal, and the fact that they he was able to put this all together and get all these great artists, it's phenomenal. I hadn't heard it in a very long time, but it was good to pull up that video and see all these guys again. Love it.
Yeah
This did give people a greater understanding of apartheid, mm-hmm. about the situation, and an understanding about who was just talking about not playing at Sun City and others who were still going to, who still did.
I think it was also because of our age. Like, back, you know, like I heard Biko and I didn't really register. But once, you know, you reach like a college age and you start. And because I was a big Springsteen fan, I kind of was paying closer attention. Yeah, it worked because I suddenly became aware of this horrible situation. Power of song. Hopefully, maybe there'll be a Ukraine song or I don't know. There'll be something.
When were you last in Ukraine?
Oh, have you?
It was in 2016. Yeah, in the beginning of my journey. Back then, I was only doing the podcast in Danish. I didn't do an English episode from there. I did record some with a local that showed me around. I published that in my feed a few weeks ago, the day after they invaded. And then I wrote with her again and say, are you okay? What's going on? And she wrote back to me that we're in just a very short email. She wrote, we're in the bomb shelter. It's hell here in Kiev. And it's such a wonderful, wonderful city. And I really, really feel, I can't say enough.
But I mean, it's wonderful that you get to travel, that you've had the opportunity to travel and see a lot of the world and understand a lot of these people. You said you've been to North Korea. I mean, I have no idea what the people go through, you know, on a day-to-day basis. And so it's people like you that kind of brings the story to life and makes these country, you humanize this by through these podcasts. Since we've gone through our whole list, tell me a little bit more about the podcast and the name of it and how people can find it.
Again, it's called The Radio Vagabond. And you got to remember the because otherwise you get the Danish version and you won't be able to understand much of that. And it's not to compare myself to Anthony Bourdain, but the style is kind of the same as Parts Unknown, where he walks around speaking to the locals and whatever happens. So I bring my microphone wherever I go and I record a lot. So there's a lot of the local sounds in the background. So you can hear the scooters of Hanoi and the mosque in Morocco and the different languages on the markets and stuff like that. So try to have my listeners be a fly on the wall when they listen to the podcast. And just try to tell stories. And it's my story as well, what happens about the life as a full-time nomad, living my lifestyle like this and traveling around the world.
Pronounce your name for us.
Yeah, please pronounce your name.
Pala. It's like palette without the T.
Palette.
Yeah.
Pala.
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 Pala. Pala.
Why don't you just let me do it?
It means balls in Italian.
Oh, okay.
Does it really?
It does. Yeah. I was at a conference and there was an Italian guy said, oh my God, I had my name tag on and he said, stay there. And then he went and got his friend and they were laughing their heads off.
That's awesome.
All right. You spent a lot of time with us. Thank you. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry because I love having you.
All right. Thank you so much, man. That was great.
Thanks, pal. Stay Appreciate in touch, okay?
Well,
all right. Okay. Bye. Cheers. Bye. I love hearing all about how someone who clearly loves radio just took the bull by the horns and literally like, we're going to do our own radio station. I wish I could do that. I wish you could do that in the United States. It made me very jealous to hear
Isn't
his story.
Isn't that what we're doing with a podcast? Isn't that what we're doing?
Well, we are now. Yeah. I mean, I wish I was in my early 20s and could have done my own thing. I mean, how awesome. That's phenomenal.
I'll bring you more Europeans. How about that?
All right. Sounds great. You know, we have new episodes every Friday, don't you know? So please subscribe. Also, we have social media. Where can they follow us there?
On social media at WDDIM Podcast and on YouTube at What Difference Does It Make Podcast.
Wonderful. Okay, so we got like three more episodes where we're talking K-Rock music. Who knows who we're going to bring in? If you have any suggestions, please reach out to us. Now you know where to find us on social media. Please send us your comments, questions, concerns, anything. We'd love to hear from you.
So thank you for listening. We're so happy to have you.
And thanks to Pantheon Podcast. We're a proud member of the Pantheon Podcast family. Until next week, this is Dave.
This is Holly.
Check you later.
Over and out.